wanted to take a little time and reflect on liberty and what that actually means. And while our country is kind of at odds, right, we have a lot of turmoil, we have a lot of conflict and beliefs and a lot of emotion, mostly emotion, I would say, you know, within our country and within our communities and within our families even, and sometimes even within ourselves, right? And I wanted to point out that a lot of this fear or a lot of this turmoil, you know, that these other people may have power or these other people may have control, you know, we fight to have that power and control for ourselves, but what a lot of times we don't realize is we actually have it, right? We just simply give it up. For example, do we really have freedom of speech? The answer is most of us don't. And the people that do actually have freedom of speech actually are either really, really admired or they're really, really despised. So to touch on that a little bit, like I said, if I claim I have freedom of speech, I live in this country, of course I have freedom of speech, but the situation is such that if I say certain things, my mother will not approve, right? And she will punish me, right? I violate a rule of hers that says I operate in this way, I speak in this way, I say these things. She will punish me in some sense, right? We have this little legal system between two people, right? They have rules, they get violated, they get punished, right? And I have rules for people, right, about the way they treat me. And if they treat me opposite of that, or they treat me in a way that doesn't follow my rule, what do I do, right? My natural instinct is to punish them, give them some honest feedback about the way I feel about the way they treated me, right? And so we have this little situation going on between every relationship, right? There's very, very few that are really centered in themselves. And that's obviously my goal and could be yours as well, to go to a place where these things don't affect us, right? Where people can say or feel whatever they please and they don't rock us emotionally, right? So what we have today, a lot of times, let me just expand, like I suggested about my mom there. These other people have this too, right? They have rules on what I can say, what's offensive to them, right? And that's a form of oppression just in itself, right? Someone saying that they are offended and expecting me to work around all of the things that offend them. Now, that's an impossibility, right? We have, 400,000 people in this country, and with internet, we have 7 billion people in the world. For me to say things, what could I possibly do that wouldn't offend someone, right? Now, I get it. We focus on relationships that are important to us, right? Family is important. You know, our friends are important. Our parents and other relationships are important to us. So we don't offend, right? We tend to submit our freedom of speech. And in some sense, and I'll refer to that in this as a lie, right? We will lie to our friends about what we really feel. I will lie to my mom about what I really feel because they have rules that I can't tell my truth, right? Did we follow that, right? People have rules for us that says they only will hear, they will only accept a certain tone from us. They will only accept certain words from us. They will only accept certain phrases and thoughts from us. So we have this maze of things we have to work through if we choose to, right? If we want to, we can choose to go through this maze, or we can just say, you know what? Screw this, right? And a lot of people find that later in life. They're like, you know what? I am so tired of not being myself. I'm so tired of giving up my voice. I'm so tired to appease all of these people. It's exhausting. You know what? Forget it. Like, I am going to say what I'm going to say. I'm going to mean what I'm going to mean. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to tell the truth. Now, I don't know if anybody reflects back and says, you know, I lied to all these people my whole life, because that would be accepting some level of responsibility. And I get it. It's hard. It's hard not to say, oh, I want my mom to love me, so I'm only going to say things that are acceptable to her. Or I want my friends to accept me, or if I want my family or my kids or whoever it might be. But in a sense, if we look at it as we are actually lying to them, all right? And we can't even have a relationship because they don't even know who we are, right? Because we lie to them on who we are. We lie to them about what we feel. We lie to them about what we want. And then we blame them, right? The only way that we could actually pull this off is to actually start telling the truth. Now, when I got involved in some of this warrior stuff, that was the line that caught me, right? It was like, why do you lie? And I didn't look at things, right? I'm not a liar. I don't lie. But in effect, I was. By appeasing people, I lied to them. I told them I was this person. I told them I believed things I didn't believe. But I didn't want a conflict, right? I did these things to avoid a conflict. And I think I mentioned this earlier in my family, growing up, like conflict was the worst, right? Keep the peace was kind of the ultimate in breaking that, or creating and upsetting all these people was a great act of disrespect and really wasn't tolerated. So in some sense, like in that family environment, no, I don't think those people all considered themselves liars. They were great people and they were great for me in a lot of sense. But the one thing that I did get from that is that as I grew up, and I had a business, and I started not wanting conflict with some customers, and I didn't want conflict with employees, and I think you can put that together and realize that that's a recipe for disaster, right? There's no company can run, there's no family can run, there's no relationship can run without some level of conflict. When there's conflict, then there has to be the open conflict, right? There has to be a discussion or an argument or some level of passion that comes to a point where people can understand. But the important piece of that is tell the truth. Now, at this point, we're in the election, we're operating on emotion, right? When we operate on emotion, it's not always the truth, right? It's like it's the truth about what we feel, but the truth about what is often blinded, right? So we have a system here whereby we actually get the passion out of the way, right? Like we say, you know, if we're in conflict with another person, we can say, okay, you know, what has you upset? What makes you mad? And you can actually get this out. You know, the therapist, the stereotypical therapist question, how does that make you feel? It's a little bit of a joke in our family, but how does that make you feel? Well, we already know how that makes us feel. It makes us angry. It makes us sad. It makes us all these things, you know, but once we've expressed the emotion, right, and cleared the emotion out, and we can get that off, then we can take a look at the facts. And we can look at the facts in this election, right? We have a very passionate, very emotional field. And a lot of votes are going to be cast on emotion, right? You're a racist. You don't love people. You don't, you know, you didn't ever work for a living. You know, you don't care about whatever it might be, right? We have all these accusations and all these assumptions, and we have a lot of emotion attached to those. To touch on the accusation piece a little bit, I had when I was in high school, I worked for I grew up on a farm. I think I mentioned that earlier, but I worked for a larger farm, and the guy that owned the farm, he would always be curious what I would do on the weekend, right? So I would never tell him because I just didn't feel it was any of his business. And some of the stuff I didn't want to tell anybody, you know, but he would always make an accusation, right? Oh, I heard you were here or there. And on the defense, in order to defend myself, he caught me telling him exactly what I did. No, I wasn't there. I was over here. I did this, this, and this. He got the information from me with a bit of a trick, right? By accusing me, and I had to defend myself, and he got the information. And I grew to despise that. And I think we've seen a little of that in later in my life, and we've seen it politically, and we've seen it in other areas of our life. But when we talk about the accusations and we talk about all the emotions in this election, if we can clear that aside, we have some very basic truths, right? We want the same thing. We have all really the same needs. We have a level of security or uncertainty, right? We want to be secure. We want to know that our country is secure, our family is secure, our income is secure, our future is secure. We have all these things that we want to make sure we have secure. And then on the flip side of that, we don't want such a level of security that we have no variety, right? That we have no excitement, we have no fun, we have no... Now, there's people, right? There's people that are very focused on security, and then we have people that are very focused on variety, right? And don't want a lot of rules and don't want a lot of that type of thing. And both are very valid. And on the other side of it, we have the opportunity ourselves to get these things, but we have kind of a sediment in this country where if we look at the facts of where we are as a country and what do we need, like we have a lot of commonality amongst ourselves, right? We have these needs. We have a want to defend our country. We as a country have a need to have relationships and be in community. We have a lot of needs that we find very, very much in common. But we, what we have to do is we have to clear the emotion. We have to clear the accusations to get to a point where that is. Now, if we break that down to our own families, we have a and disputes in our own family. We have to first find those within ourselves, right? We have to, when we have this chaos in this country of emotion, we have to look at ourselves too and say, okay, where am I centered? Like, where is my emotion in this whole thing? Like, actually have emotion, have compassion, have anger, have fear, have all the emotions. But to actually function when we take action, we need to clear these aside and say, what are the facts? What do I want? What do I want for me? What do I want for the other person or the other people involved? And what do we want for us as a group? Now, if we look at that in this country and say, well, what do I actually want? What do I actually want for all of these other people? What do I want? And we have to resist the idea that we want them to believe like us. We want them to believe like us. But we have to take the next step beyond that and say, okay, what do we actually want for them? We want peace for them. We want security for them. We want them to feel part of community. We want that, really the same things that we would want for us. And then we take action from there, right? We take action from a place where we know what we want. And surprisingly, a lot of people don't even know what they want. We know what we want for them, meaning the other side, the people that have an opposing view. And then what do we want for us together? What do we want as a country? You know, for example, maybe we want to be able to get back to a place where it's nonpartisan, right? Where we can go, walk across and we can actually have discussions about what is actually better for our country. What is the best thing for our country? So let me just leave you with this thought today is like, where in your life have you been hijacked by emotion and haven't really considered what you want out of this, what you want for them, and what you want for you as a group.